Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here at Guitarnerds, we're big fans of iZotope software and their impressive range of plugins. And you, dear listener, get 10% off all iZotope plugins at iZotope.com with discount code NERDS10. Every Guitarnerds podcast for well over 5 of its 10 years has been edited, polished, and repaired using iZotope's wonderful range of tools. From their Nectar suite to EQ, compress, and lightly add reverb to give the impression that Matt and I are in the same room, to the RX repair suite to deal with pops, clicks, and background noise. In fact, every sound sample that you hear on our podcast is mastered using iZotope's Ozone Mastering Suite, and I can even compare audio EQ and levels to other similar released material using iZotope's Tonal Recall. It's all very good, and believe it or not, there are a bunch of free plugins that you can try. A vinyl simulator for added character, the Ozone Imager for help visualizing your stereo mix, and a vocal doubler for added richness and depth to your vocals. Pretty neat. Check it all out at iZotope.com. Matt, I want to give you some advice this week before we start the podcast.
Okay, hit me.
You should never date a tennis player because love means nothing to them.
Oh. What's there at the beginning, Mr. Branton?
Yes. Oh, I tell you what, this is the best thing we've ever done on the podcast is introduce dad jokes at the start. I've been getting some great suggestions. I've had some good ones through that none that have quite, I think maybe I just really like finding my own ones, but I have had some good ones. I enjoyed this one. Eric Hemmer sent me this one recently. He said, why couldn't the pony finish singing his song? He was a little horse.
Of course. So obvious.
There you go. There you go. I thought it was good. I thought that you could laugh there, Matt. That was a good joke.
It's tough. Tough. Well, I had a good one the other day, just before you introduced the podcast. Uh-huh. I asked my dog what 2 minus 2 was. It said nothing.
Matt, that was the first one I ever did on this
was
podcast.
It?
Yeah. I can't believe you've forgotten
like
already.
14 episodes ago. And I didn't hear it from you. I heard it from someone else.
Well, there you go.
Oh, well.
I don't trust stairs. They're always up to something.
Oh, yes.
Oh, come on. I'd like to think you, dear listener, at least you, dear listener, were laughing away, cackling away at the top of your voice to some of these incredible jokes, these dadgad jokes that we're doing here on the Guitar Nerds podcast. Welcome, dear listener. Welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week, finally, by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe. It's been too long. How many weeks has it been?
It has been a couple of weeks. Now, it wasn't always you. It was me because I had to rearrange a couple of things over the last couple of weeks, and I think you couldn't do a couple of the days. But yes,
you're on tour, which I guess you spoke about in a previous episode that I definitely
did. Actually, I had Philip Carter from 40 Watt Podcast. He's done like 4 episodes this season, which is loads. I mean, he's great. I love how contrary he is. So it's always nice to have someone not afraid to speak their mind on the podcast.
A little different voice. Nice tone to that voice too.
Exactly, that nice sort of Mississippi edge. But yeah, we didn't speak about it that much. We spoke about it a bit. I won't go into it too much because, dear listener, obviously, you know, by the time this is coming out, it's a day late this week. NAMM is in full flow at the point that this podcast is coming out. So we've got loads of new products that we want to talk about because some of them are extremely exciting, despite the fact that it is obviously a smaller NAMM, a lot of brands not there, a lot of people not releasing stuff. You know, it was always the case with NAMM that people would, you know, we've spoken about it on the podcast before, Matt, you and I, about the fact that Ibanez would announce everything, like 50 new guitars at NAMM, but those guitars wouldn't be available in October, until October. You know, and it's always difficult for brands to actually keep up with NAMM and release things. And I noticed that this year, Sweetwater, you know, being the massive Leviathan of a retailer they are, have simply said they're not going to stock stuff that doesn't exist anymore. You know, they're just going to deal. If stuff's announced, it has to also be available. They don't want to do this messing around where there's 8 months between a brand saying, here's a new thing, and then, you know, the thing that's actually being available, which I think is great. That's good. Yeah, I hear about a product, I want to be able to buy it.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, ultimately, we are driven by impulsiveness most of the time, certainly when it comes to guitar related things. And I think, you know, NAMM historically was always the time of the year where you as a dealer would go there and order everything for the year. You know, you would have a sales rep that would probably come around, but that was everything. And that's just not the case now because you can launch anything at any time.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Roland Boss aren't there. I don't think Fender are there. I don't think Gibson are there. I don't think Korg are there, maybe. I did see a list. So it's going to be interesting. I had totally forgotten that it was actually this week. It's, you know, something that historically, as guitar nerds, we've always sort of,
yeah,
spoke about for weeks before and weeks after, but actually yeah, exactly. I've forgotten. And I keep seeing new stuff pop up in various places, and I'm like, there's a lot of new stuff coming out. And then I'm like, oh yeah, it's NAMM.
It's because it's NAMM, yeah.
It's because it's NAMM. So I'm sad not to be in the spring sun in Anaheim. But maybe next time.
I don't mind too much not being there, to be honest. But you know, with regards to NAMM and how it's going, I've always tried to be a little cautious on the podcast about how we talk about it because I don't want to stir any pots or anything. But since old Mr. Disney, who runs Fender, has put out an article saying why how NAMM would have to change to get Fender back there, I feel like it's kind of open season on NAMM at the moment. People can talk about it.
There was another interview, wasn't there? I think I can't remember where he was talking about it, but... Yeah, Fender, Gibson, PRS aren't there in terms of...
Those are the big ones.
There are lots of other new things happening this very podcast that we will discuss. But, in some ways, I hope it does go back to how it was. And there's lots of brands there, and it's cool to hang out for a few days. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see what this show is like.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll see how far we get through talking about some of these things. But like the few things that I've taken note of are like a Bluetooth adjustable pickup selectors from Seymour Duncan, new Sterling guitars, expanded Sterling guitars. We've got the new UA pedals. They've expanded that incredibly successful range of pedals again. The Earthquaker Devices new chorus pedal, Mooga Fooga plugins, that's not quite new, but they're on sale. The Walrus Audio Fundamental range, like a budget slider-based range of effects. The Headrush Prime, a massive, massive multi-effect with a great touchscreen interface, and JHS and Electro Harmonix teaming up to make the Lizard Queen. That, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. We've got all those amazing new Squire releasing new finishes. Have you seen those, Matt? I mean we won't talk about them just yet, but did you see some of those new colors and new guitars, a new Sonic series instead of Affinity for Squire? I think that's amazing. They've got like a a couple of new colors. The blue, I think, is called California Blue, which I assume that means that the guitar is blue and it won't be very heavy because it's a light blue.
Here it goes.
There you go. I'm working them in to the episode as we go. But anyway, yes, I'm sorry. I apologize. Well, listen, that wasn't very good.
I am super keen to buy the Sonic HT-H Strat in Flash Pink, which is their single humbucker Squire Strat in the brightest, best pink I've ever seen.
You like that pink? It's a bit like a lipstick pink, but a bit more... I don't know, Matt. These colors do look budget to me. Like, they're not. There's nothing subtle and there's nothing metallic. And that tends to be what things are. They're either bold colors, but with a metallic edge to sort of soften that, or they're light colors, like pastel versions of colors. And those two things are successful. But these are just bold colors. They're like kids' coloring book colors.
Mm, I like that. Yeah. Although, annoyingly, I don't think you can buy any of them yet. I mean, it says notify me when available, coming soon on the Fender website. But yeah, I think that prediction for the future, I wonder if those affinities will end up, when they get replaced, they'll be like a Hello Kitty. They'll be worth loads of money because...
Well, I having never seen a Sonic, I don't know if it's a rebadging or if it's changing things. Because, you know, when Player came out and everyone was like, oh, they're charging £200 extra for a Mexican standard. They weren't, because they were nothing like a Mexican standard. They had lacquered necks. They had, you know, specifically vintage voice pickups. They had much better colors. The hardware was a step up. Everything about the Players was a step up. And that's why there was the price difference. The Affinity range had got good. Like, it was much better than it was when we were kids and buying that series of guitars. They'd started, the necks weren't so rough. They'd started giving them a light lacquering. You know, I toured with a band called Bicurious in Ireland, and their guitarist had an Affinity Strat as his backup, which he had to use one night when he broke a string halfway through his set on his, American standard. And I was like, this... considering the massive price difference between those two instruments, I was like, this really sounds great. Like, this guitar, you know, I'm sure it wasn't as comfy to play. I'm sure there were, you know, I'm sure there were things about it, but I was like, this, and I played it when, you know, we were, you know, sort of just sitting around sound checking and stuff. And I was like, this Affinity Strat, and it's the first Affinity I've probably picked up since I was 18. And I was like, oh, this is actually really, really quite good. So I'd be interested to see whether the Sonic is an upgrading, or because those prices are pretty competitive, if they're going to take away maybe some of the things that have made so good about the Affinity. I don't know either way yet, but I'll be interested to see.
I like especially that I'm assuming that they took this picture, but there's a picture of the pink one next to like a flowery background. And it just looks wicked. I reckon that.
Right.
Get a little EMG in that.
Oh, yeah.
I think for £149, I think that could be a very cool guitar to sort of mod and mess around with. So, I'm keen. I'm keen on that Sonic series. And, yeah, that was almost felt like the kickstart of a lot of other stuff sort of happening, really.
Yeah, there's definitely been an awful lot of awesome stuff. Speaking of EMG, Matt, I've just made a new EMG purchase off of the back of actually kind of seeing this video on Instagram by this bassist who has become a friend of mine, a guy called Matt Parker. I'm going to get him down to Ashdown to shoot some videos. He's a great bass player. He has some amazing gear, really nice fella, and he plays, his main bass is a Vuren Saku bass, obviously, Matt.
Cool. So, you know, nice.
You know, Saku, friends of the podcast. And he has a short scale 5-string offset double Thunderbird pickup bass. Like, it's the most ridiculous thing. It's like Olympic white with like a Sonic Blue speed stripe on the lower upper body bit. Wow. It's very cool. But he also has loads of great
loads of great other bases. And he uploaded this video of him retrofitting an EMG, the J System solderless set into an 89 Fiesta Red Maple Necked Jazz Bass. And I was like, oh, this is a great idea. So it comes with the set is £179. You get your two EMG jazz pickups and you get the jazz bass control plate. So with the three controls, with everything loaded in, and it's solderless, so you just connect things. So you can do...
Ideally the pickups.
Sorry?
Ideally the pickups. Yeah. You're like, connect anything. I'm like, well, you know.
So ideally. They just click into place, you know, essentially. So any layman can do it, and you can get top quality EMG pickups in your jazz bass. And I've got a show coming up in Copenhagen that we've got to fly to, and basically basses are now EasyJet changed their restrictions. They've changed the height limit. If you want to buy a seat for your guitar, it now has to sit on the seat and be able to be strapped in.
Really?
And the distance between the top of the seat and the seat is not as tall as a bass hard case. And I could maybe take it in a soft case and take the neck off, but if there's any problems and they want it to go in the hold, I then have to put a soft case in the hold. So I want to take it in a hard case, which means it can't go on the plane anyway.
Right.
So I've got to put it in the hold. And so I was like, well, I don't want to take a super expensive thing. I have fears about stuff. I'm getting grilled by the rest of my band for this, but yeah, I don't really want to put, I don't trust, an airline that charged me £40 to fly somewhere. I don't trust them. If they cost £500, I would trust them. But at £40, I do not trust them with my gear in the hold. So I was like, well, I'm going to take one of my Ashdown basses that I like. It was one of the prototypes. I'm not saying that bass is bad, by the way. It's a great bass, but it was it cost me very, very little money because it was a prototype and it was gifted to me by them. And so I was like, well, I'm not too fussed. If this one breaks, I can probably order another neck off of the Ashdown, the company building the bases for Ashdown. So it's not the end of the world. But it is budget. You know, these bases are going to retail at $299. And I find the pickups just a little bit single coily, a little noisy, a little toppy, not sort of rounded enough where I want them.
Mm-hmm.
And look at this, for £179, I don't even need to have to solder. I can just get this set and drop it straight in and turn this budget bass into an EMG loaded awesome powerhouse.
Go full Guy Pratt.
Yeah, well, effectively. Exactly. Well, I have EMGs. I have a nice set of EMGs in my main jazz bass, so this wouldn't be too far from it. Have you ever thought about that, Matt, getting like a little drop-in EMG set for anything? Has EMG ever been on your radar?
100%. I mean, there is one guitar player, Joe, who epitomized ultimate 90s tone.
Right.
And that is, of course, David Gilmour. After his first solo tour, which was mid-80s, he retired the Black Strat and that went to the Hard Rock Cafe in Texas.
Right.
I think. And he played, for the longest time, he then played a 57 reissue Strat.
Yeah, the Red Strat.
The custom set of David Gilmour EMGs in it. And that's where the Lace Sensor thing comes from as well, is I've always wanted a set of Dave Gilmour EMG pickups in a Strat, but
I didn't know he had signature EMGs actually. Yeah, that's passed me by.
You can still buy them. EMG David Gilmour signature. You can still buy them. You can buy a loaded plate right now, purloined plate with the cream humbuckers, or you can buy a black plate with white humbuckers for £279 great British pounds. And if I had a guitar that I could put that in, I absolutely would.
I've got a Jet Strat. That's just got a humbucker in the bridge and a single in the neck. I bet it's swimming pool rooted. underneath.
If it is,
I wonder if I should do this.
Because I had a custom shop Strat for a while, which I put some David Gilmour inspired pickups in, and I put a black plate with the white pickups on, and it just looked so good. And yeah, this is preloaded, and obviously it's soldless, so all you have to do is just clip in the output jack.
Yes to this. Why isn't this everything now? Why isn't everyone using EMG pickups now?
Well, I think people have the wrong idea about EMG pickups. That's the problem. A lot of people go, oh, they're high output, they're soulless or whatever, but they just have a character of their own. In fact, I would say that they emphasize the character of your guitar more so because of the way that they are built. And obviously, they cancel a lot more noise than they're silent, which is reading this recent interview. Well, reading this article, which is recent, but some of the bits they pulled in from were taken from older articles. You know, he was just like, when we were touring with a big rig, everything was really noisy, loads of lights, you know, people cared about it, didn't care about it in the 70s, there's nothing you could do about it. And then, you know, once you get into like huge stadium touring in the 90s, they were like,
yeah,
we cut that out now. And he was just like, they sounded really good. And it gives you, you know, because they're active, you can do a lot more with it. The DG20 set comes with the guitar expander, which then you can boost or cut treble and bass frequencies as well. So you can actually, you know, really notch up the sound of a Strat and emphasize that sound more, where you can cut it less, so you can still get a great Strat sound. I mean, for me, if it's good enough for David Gilmour, it's good enough for me. And now, the more I talk about it, the more I'm like, I'm going to have to buy a cheap Strat and these pickups.
And yes. Let's do it. Let's do it.
279. Oh, you can buy them different. Oh, you can actually get a left-handed version as well. Which is
300 quid is a chunk of money. But I bet these are great.
Like, you know, a lot of signature pickups. You know, I thought the Fishman Fluence pickups for Tele sounded really good. The Greg Koch ones sounded
really
good.
They were so good.
So, you know, I'm sort of like, well, you know, that's what you pay for a set of pickups. And this is all pre-wired on a plate and ready to go.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And then I guess you put the battery. I don't know where the battery clips in, actually. I'm guessing it goes in the cavity. It must go in the TREM cavity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I really have to squeeze like my control plate on my jazz bass that already has an EMG on there that doesn't have the preloaded control cavity. I just reuse my own. That's really like, I can't quite tighten it up with a 9-volt battery in there. Oh, really? Yeah. It's a lot to fit in. Yeah, I obviously should root out some space in there, but.
Yeah, I think I just don't think, I think I would get a lot of flack from the universe if I put David Gilmour pickup set in a vintage, probably now vintage, made in Japan Paisley Strat. So
we'll get you a Squire Strat mat, and we'll do it in that.
Yeah, I was just looking on Reverb, and then the first thing that came up was a Hello Kitty for £640. So
there you go.
It is mad how much those things are going up in price. You know, 86 Jet Squire Strat E Series, £600.
Well, I tell you what, Matt. Speaking of that, my drummer's neighbour found in her attic the other week a couple of guitars that belong to her son, who's long since moved out, given up guitar, and she just wants to flog them. And so my drummer Chris sent me a couple of pictures of them and said, "Could you just let her know what they're worth, so maybe she can sell them?" One of them was just a worthless Epiphone Les Paul, like an old one.
Right.
Probably, I don't know, late 80s, early 90s, but it looked absolutely terrible. Forget that one. The other one was a Fender Bullet version 1 Telecaster, early 80s. Right. And it was in a bad state. It had like one string on it, and it's a bit, you know, it's been kept in an attic for all that time. But it's probably early 80s. And I mean, I said, well, it obviously needs a lot of work, but the fact is, I sort of did a little bit of Googling. I found them going for between £450 and £1,100 on the internet.
That is absolutely mad, isn't it?
Exactly. So I said, look, you know, if you're happy for me to have it for a bit so that I can fix it up and get to record some stuff and play it, I'll set it for you on my own Reverb store. And also, I'm actually thinking about making an offer because it's really nice. It's like a soft V-neck, thick, lacquered soft V-neck, really gorgeous. So, dear listener, if you're not familiar with the Bullet series, it was one of Fender's 80s attempts at making a budget instrument. The body is somewhere in between a Stratocaster and a Telecaster. It's a single cut like a Telecaster, but has a lot of sort of stratty shape to the body, I guess, contours, things like that. Two single coils, both straight single coil right in the bridge and an angled single coil in the neck, which is unusual. Telecaster headstock, rosewood neck, three-way pickup selector, volume tone. Here's my favorite thing. When I got it out, I was like, oh my goodness, the scratch plate is metal. I was like, what? I mean, it's red. It's like sonic red with a white plate. And I was like, the scratch plate's metal. Why is this scratch plate metal when this was supposed to be a budget instrument? This weighs a ton. The metal's quite thick. I was like, this is terrible. It's steel. It's a goddamn steel or tin plate. It's not like aluminium. It's not, you know, thin and lightweight like you get on the 57 P bases and strats and things. And then I realized the bridge is cut into the plate. It's all one thing.
What?
Yeah. Have a look, Matt. There's a link on our thing. The bridge is part of the scratch plate. Sure. Okay. Dear listener, unless you're looking at one, that's hard to, I guess, imagine. But sure, the saddles, they're separate. They're obviously mounted into it. But the angled piece of a plate that essentially, you know, is normally screwed into the body on a separate bridge piece is just an angled bit of metal attached to the bottom of the plate.
That is so bizarre. You wouldn't get that if you just looked at it.
No.
if you're sat in front of a computer, you do definitely have to look at these. Fender Bullet version 1.
Yeah.
Telecaster S1 1981.
Yes.
That is a very cool guitar. I'm into it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it. I kind of think it's not in great condition. Like the guys cut the cover off of the top of the pickup. And I mean cut it, so it still has the sort of surround, but not the top, which is really weird.
I don't know why you would do that.
I know. I don't know. Maybe it got caught and it just came off naturally. Who knows? You know, but it's really not in great condition. I've really got to do a lot to it. Like I think I'm going to have to redo the nut as well. But, the three-way selector is absolutely stuck. So I'm going to have to change that too, probably all the wiring and everything.
Right.
I'm going to get another cover if I can for that neck pickup. as well. So it certainly won't fetch the £1,100 that the, you know, the top end ones are going for that come in like their original cases and stuff. But I'll either sell it or I'll make an offer. I'll wait until I can actually hear this guitar plugged in, because I know it's budget, but it was budget in the 80s and it's got so much vibe to it. Sonic Red's one of my favorite colors and it's cool. It's a telly that's not a telly. It's got like the rosewood neck is very lovely by today's standards, you know, where we're in a world of Pal Ferro and Indian Laurel. This is a lovely rosewood neck. So I don't know.
It is amazing how much that secondhand market, I thought it had died down, but I just, while you were talking, I thought, talking to Strat Mods and looking at that and Squires, I was like, I'm going to put Squire Strat into Reverb right now for sale used in the UK.
Yeah.
There is barely anything cheap on here. And I mean cheap as in like throwaway cheap.
Right.
Just an idea of a couple of things. There's four Hello Kitty guitars that are ranging from £550 to £700. Wow. A Squire Tom DeLonge Strat for £700.
Is that Mark Packham selling that?
Is it? I don't know.
No, I said I don't know because he definitely bought one recently and was going to try and flog it for loads of money.
There's a Simon Neil.
Oh yeah, I remember this.
Simon Neil
Fiesta Red.
Simon Neil classic vibe.
Yeah.
For
they were £399, Matt, when they were in GAC because I nearly bought one.
£100.
Why? I mean, it's a good guitar, but it's not worth that money.
No, it looks very cool, and you obviously can't really get anything like super similar.
No.
One thing that did catch my eye is someone selling, and I don't remember these, but someone selling a 40th anniversary, I guess this is relatively new, 40th anniversary Satin Squire Strat.
Oh yes, yeah. So this is recent, Matt. The 40th
with the brushed with the brushed plate. I think that looks really cool. I normally hate sunburst, but I'm into that.
I don't think it's 40th anniversary of the Strat. It's 40th
anniversary of
Squire, isn't it?
Squire, like
yeah, yeah. So these are recent. They did two different versions of like anniversary model. They did like a modern one. And they did a vintage one, essentially. And weirdly enough, the vintage ones all had satin finishes and anodized plates and often gold hardware.
Yeah.
And they had been photographed very well, but everyone I spoke to said, who had seen them in person, said that they just looked awful. Like the satin finishes just don't work on a classic model at all.
Because I've alternatively just gone to eBay to have a look, and I've put in road worn because I'm like, man, the Squires are that much money, I might as well buy a road worn. And I'm like, you can actually buy road worn guitars, some road worns, for less than some of these Japanese Squires. But equally, they are also crazy expensive at this point. I mean, might as well just buy a new one.
Yeah.
Might as well just buy a new guitar. You might as well buy a new Squire. There's some crazy money out there. Although someone is selling, I've just seen here, a Blue Sparkle Vintera road worn 50s telly in Blue Sparkle. Now that doesn't sound right to me because I'm pretty sure they never did one in Blue Sparkle. That must be the J Mascus, surely.
Yeah, I would have thought so. A Blue Sparkle, yeah, it would be the J Mascus. It wouldn't be anything else.
Yeah. Bottle Rocket Blue Fender Telly. I don't remember that at all.
Well,
oh no, wait, hold on. It's a classic Triggers Broom here.
Oh.
basically, he's replaced both the neck and the body. He's like, yeah, I bought this. It's literally saying it started life as a road worn telly, then I saw a different body. And then I've put all road-worn parts on it.
Right.
And it's two donor guitars that make up one guitar. And I'm like, isn't that just a different guitar?
Yeah.
talking of mods, Joe, one of the news things we have put on here, maybe we should move into some of the NAMM news.
Absolutely. Related, time's getting on.
There's a related bit of news here regarding modding. In the fact that Seymour Duncan, and this is
insane. This interview is the most insane, dear listener.
this is not an April Fool's joke. They have made what they are claiming to be the Seymour Duncan Hyperswitch, the first Bluetooth-enabled programmable five-way pickup selector.
Now, they've got a picture of it. The bits that go inside look massive, like really deep and really huge. I'm questioning whether or not this even fits in a Strat without routing. But I assume it obviously does. I'm just surprised that it does.
Yeah, they never thought about that. Like, someone's going to put it in a guitar? I agree. The picture looks like it's massive, but I think they've just inflated the picture slightly. They've put it next to an iPhone, but I don't think for scale.
Yeah, I think maybe you're right. Yeah, because the five-way selector is like half the size of the iPhone. So yeah I think that's right.
But yeah, interestingly, as the press article says here, you might be forgiven for thinking that product development would follow a similar pattern for that of the 20th century. All magnets, wires, and windings. You just wouldn't have thought that basically it would have ever changed. Yeah. That pickups basically are as far gone as you could have gone with a pickup, and then Seymour Duncan just go, yeah, let's make it Bluetooth. So effectively, the Hyperswitch allows you to connect your switch, your pickup selector, via Bluetooth to your phone, and then reconfigure your pickups in a multitude of different ways, effectively.
Right.
It's still all passive, so it's passive with digital control, so kind of similar to what we were talking about with the solderless pickups.
Yeah.
But you can, mod your pickup sounds in real time, store presets, and recall your favorite sounds. And it's pretty nuts. Effectively, you can have over 100 different wiring options. So that's out of phase, split coils, parallel wiring, and more are all achievable via the Hyperswitch.
This is a very cool mod. I love the ability to be able to constantly mod something without even taking the scratch plate off.
I mean, they said here, we'll see how it goes, because I don't know if you remember, we've talked about it on the podcast before, but Gibson had something called the Chameleon Tone during the Robot series towards the end of Henry's reign as CEO. And that was the same thing. It was on the Dust Tiger. It was on a couple of other bits and effectively allowed you to reconfigure the pickups. And everyone just went, but I just want bass, middle, treble, effectively.
Yeah.
So who knows if it will take off. But I, for one, am interested.
Yeah, I think it looks like and I think it's an extremely cool idea. What I want to do is see it kind of working properly in something. I don't want to get too wrapped up into this when I was so critical of, like, you hit the nail on the head there. We hated 2015 Gibsons, but we're screaming about this, So I want to make sure that it's a great product, but it does seem like it could be really cool. So we'll wait and see.
I like the idea. I mean, there's a couple. Yeah, I mean, they're saying, I think because it's solderless, so effectively you can put any pickups in it.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a powerful, active five-way blade that's compatible with most pickups and configured via your smartphone. Paired with the intuitive interface, a player with three humbuckers will be able to configure their pickups in hundreds of different ways. So I guess if you've got three single coils in there, you're probably a little bit more limited, because obviously there's only a certain amount of configurations you could have that you wouldn't already be, because I'm guessing you couldn't really say, but you wouldn't be able to have.
I wonder if you could do like some of that Burns Wild Dog stuff. I guess not, like, the thing where you have like the lower half of the neck pickup and the upper half of the bridge pickup.
Yeah, I don't think it will allow you to do that, because
it would need the windings to be
wires from the pickups, I guess. So yeah, I guess they're sort of trying to get it someone who's got two or three humbuckers. Although saying that, the video is someone using it with a strap, but I think they've got the Dave Murray pick guard in it, which has got three humbuckers.
Yeah.
But just while on the Seymour Duncan website, just loaded a product that I forgot they made, that actually for humbuckers is super cool. And I remember selling a couple, and then no one ever talks about it. But the triple shot mounting ring for humbuckers.
What's that?
That added two switches to the plastic mounting ring for
Les Paul
style guitars that then allowed you to split or put your humbuckers in series or parallel without changing any of the knobs for push pulls or anything like that.
I remember this.
I thought that's really cool. I was like, that's actually a really cool idea. I'm like, I'm surprised you don't see that on more guitars. I'm surprised that more guitars don't license that out. Actually, that's that is a really cool product.
Yeah, that is. But yeah, that's cool.
The first bit of Madman news.
It is. It is.
I would love to see it in action. I would love to mod a guitar with it in. How much would you use it? I don't know.
It depends. I think people like us, Matt, probably would use it a whole bunch. Like, I'm pretty fickle, so I'd probably be changing it regularly. But if you're just looking for a sound, maybe this isn't for you. But
yeah, obviously. I can see maybe a studio.
Yeah.
You want to wire something up in a studio, maybe for a studio guitar, it might be quite a good thing. But otherwise, yeah, you're probably not going to use it.
Exactly. Well, it's that sounds like the question duck, Matthew, which means it's time for us to let our listeners know that after we finish this podcast, the regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, Matt and I will head over to Patreon, to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where we will do the Patreon exclusive episode where each week we take questions or discussion points from the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook. Do join it, dear listener, if you're not already there, but obviously, you know, also join the Patreon so you can listen to their stuff. Anyway. Regardless, this week, we got a few things that we were going to talk about. Like, I saw someone share the Epiphone exclusive run of 58 Carina Moderns, and then the Modern get poo-pooed by other people as if this was a bad decision for Epiphone to have made to reissue it. I'm being semi-serious here. I understand that it is an absolute marmite of a guitar, the Modern, but it got me thinking. I was like, damn, the problem for me with the Modern is that it's $3,000 or, you know, whatever the Gibson one is. When it was released by Epiphone, it was £600, and I was like, I probably would take a punt on that for £600. So it kind of made me want to talk with Matt about some of the weirder Gibsons that we would actually purchase. Not just talking about weird Gibsons, we've done that loads, but the weird Gibsons that we would actually purchase were they reissued by Epiphone, made at affordable prices. So we'll probably talk about that. Brandon Ivy has also just purchased the Deep Oggin, the Thorpey Chorus. And he said that, like Distortion and Fuzz, Chorus is one of those things that he can never have enough of. I, for what I'm going for a big Chorus phase at the moment. Just rewired my pedal board, got the Boss Wazzacraft Dimension Chorus back on there as an always on. Like that's my neat sound now. And my neat sound is always drive, and then I go down to a clean. So the Chorus pedal is my drive now, my first stage of drive. Well, yeah, you get a nice little bump off of a Chorus, and especially off of the Dimension Chorus if you use, like, because you can couple up some of those buttons. If you use like 3 and 4 together, you get a really thick Chorus, and it's actually running that into a hot amp. Yeah, like, that is a great sound for just thick, full. Anyway, I'm going off point. Anyway, I wanted to talk on the Patreon about pedals we can't get enough of, effect types that are maybe less normal that we could never not have on, or at least never not have as a big part of our pedal board. And then also Matt and I, maybe we'll probably end up just talking about this, Matt, but Jake Gray had posted a lovely shell pink humbucker loaded rosewood necked FSR Squire Telecaster that's on the Andertons website at the moment. And I'm sure plenty of places in the States have got some wonderful Squire FSR. Squire continue to make wonderful limited runs of really interesting guitars. And he'd said that there are some naughty FSR Squires on the Andertons site at the moment, including some lovely baritones and this one. So me and Matt went and checked out what was going on over at Andertons, and there were some amazing FSR Squires. So we wanted to kind of talk through those. But that's what we're going to be doing on Patreon after this. let's try and crack on with some news because, you know, it's still loads. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go next? We'll do one more news thing, then we'll do topic of the week, then we'll come back to some more news after that.
Shall we talk about... I'm going to talk about the things that I like, Joe. Why don't we talk about the Lizard Queen?
The Lizard Queen. I thought you'd go for the new Sterlings, but this is so much more interesting.
I nearly did, but...
This is the most interesting
this
one.
This is something new and something from Electro-Harmonix that is also brand new. And I think it's got a cool story behind it. And it sounds really, really good.
Really good. Yeah,
the Lizard Queen is the brand new Octave Fuzz.
Octave Distortion,
rather.
Weirdly, that's what it says on the pedal. Octave Fuzz is how they call it, what they call
yes.
it.
Yes. By Electro-Harmonix and JHS, for people. So, for people who follow the JHS website, it's probably no massive surprise, but quite a few months ago, maybe even last year now, Josh did a video with another guy who's a friend of his called Daniel Danger, who's a graphic designer but also an Electro-Harmonix collector in the US. And they basically designed a brand new 1970s Electro-Harmonix pedal. So taking in the kind of thoughts and themes and designs and, you know, thinking if they were an engineer in Electro-Harmonix in New York in the 1970s and what they'd have access to. And they designed this circuit. And they made a big box version of it. And then from that, they actually took it to Electro-Harmonix, who then said, well, we'll make it then. And yeah. That's what they've done. This is an original design by Josh of JHS and the graphic designer Daniel Danger as a homage to Electro-Harmonix in what Josh and Daniel consider the company's design heyday of the 1970s. So it said, they say a Octave Fuzz is a nano-sized version of the pedal that brought to life by the engineers at Electro-Harmonix.
So that's important to note, dear listener. This is, they've put it in an accessible 9-volt controlled, you know, normal box, the nano-sized box, which is the regular size pedal for today.
Yeah. US, what they're saying here, US street price, $99.
Yes. I mean, that's the best thing about all the nano box stuff from Electro-Harmonix is you're still getting great quality. You're still getting fantastically built pedals, wonderful designers, incredible sounds, and a fantastic price. And they are just getting, I feel, almost underrated in light of the amount of boutique builders there are. But this is a wildly great pedal for $99.
And I mean, you just have to go and listen to the demo that they've done. I mean, the big box one looks super cool. I think
it was a lot more money, the big box one.
Yeah, I didn't actually realize they're making 1,000 pieces of the big box one, and I don't even know where you could buy it from.
I thought they already did that. I thought that was part of shortly after the video. They didn't release it with Electro-Harmonix. It was released that they called it like Faux Harmonix or something like that.
Right.
And just did it as JHS.
I just saw the main one. Not even sure where you can get the normal one from, though. It doesn't seem to be any dealers in the UK listing it.
It'll turn up. It'll turn up. Post-NAM, it'll be here.
Yeah, I'm sure. But yeah, very cool. Very, very cool.
My only problem with this is it's a fixed fuzz. So the control, you get a volume, the octave, and a balance, which is, you know, an EQ, essentially. And the demo points out how well it works with guitar volume, which is fantastic if you use guitar volume, which I do not a lot. I get different sounds out of octave fuzzes by either having a spluttery fuzz, by not having the fuzz control up very much, or by having a really full bore fuzz by diming it. And that's not something you can do with this pedal. So I do feel like you have to like the sound, because that is the sound. Yeah, sure, they show lots of things it can do. Even on the Electro-Harmonix website, they're like 5 different demo sounds. So I'm obviously talking out of my buttocks. but I felt like, for me, I was like, well... maybe I just need to learn how to use these controls, I guess. This is my fault, not theirs.
Yeah, I think I like that. I do like that idea. And there's a few pedals like that out there on the market. But yeah, you don't see it as much, do you? But I think it will be I think it'll be fine. I've also just seen all of the pictures they've posted of the big box one. And they've made up some other Electro-Harmonix pedals, I think. Yeah, they've made up some other ones that never came out. I'm into this.
Yeah.
I want one.
It's very cool. I think it's... few things have been more exciting than this. It sounds fantastic. It's very cool to see JHS and Electro-Harmonix hooking up together. Great sounding pedal, amazing price. Everyone should buy one. I'm sure everyone will. You know, who doesn't like Octave Fuzz? So this is very cool. Now, before we move on to the next news article, I want to talk about the topic of the week. Now, dear listener, each week we spin a wheel that consists of the names of all of our top tier Patreon supporters. I select a name. They get to choose a topic that Matt and I will discuss on each week's podcast. A couple of weeks ago now, Suresh won. Suresh has got back to me and let me know what he wants us to speak about. It's a good topic, so we're going to talk about that in a minute. But before we do, we need to decide who's going to get to choose the topic next week, and we can only do that by spinning the wheel. So let's do that now. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, the wheel has been spun. The winner has been selected. It is Barry Gresbick, the mastermind behind Grez Guitars. He has won this week's wheel spin. Well done, Barry. Well done. I'll be in touch.
His prize is to send me a Grez guitar.
I mean, we already have one, Matt.
I know, but
you want one as well. Okay,
two
fine.
Better than one.
Fine. Well, I'll reach out to Barry and we'll get a topic for him to discuss on next week's episode. Now, Suresh got hold of me and he said, I need some help with a simple home setup. Where I'm from, my apartment is tiny and quickly overrun by my guitars, amps, pedals, and cables. I love those amps, but I hate the clutter. Can you recommend a good cabless, computerless setup for the study/bedroom that would minimize all the plugging and unplugging for those days where I just want to sit down and play? Any advice for a good set of small monitors, an attenuator, a mixer for other instruments that also require monitors to go with the guitar amp heads of choice and those endless confusing cable options? There you go, a fair chunk of stuff. This is a whole setup, really, for minimizing but maximizing a home setup, Matt. Now, it does sound like Suresh wants to take advantage of the gear he has, so I do feel like what we're looking for here are tools to enhance what he has, but quietly, which there are plenty of options for that. But before we do that, I mean, you know, I kind of feel like it goes without saying that we should talk about what great options you can have by bypassing your amps completely. And of course, Matt, you know, I feel like this is a good opportunity for us to talk about how great Wazza headphones are, because we haven't spoken about them in a long time, and they are very good.
Yeah, we haven't spoken about them in a long time, and I still use mine regularly, and I think they're just really good fun, and not for the moving your head and the gyro thing, and it's more the overall sound experience that every time I dial in like a particular sound, it just has a life and quality to it that just makes you want to play more. Anyone who is unaware, they are effectively a wireless pair of headphones. So the amp and everything is built into the headphones, and you have a transmitter that plugs into your guitar. And they do make playing at home and practicing a lot more, I think, a lot more fun, a lot more enjoyable. But they're kind of a one-to-one pairing because everything's in the headphones. You could put the transmitter at the end of a pedal board and you could plug your guitar into your pedal board, and then the transmitter will transmit your pedal board into the headphones. But
the backing track thing was the thing for me that got me.
Yes, because you can play backing tracks and then...
off of your phone, dear listener. Like, you find a backing track on Spotify, run that through the headphones, and then play along to it. Find, you know, blues, 12-bar blues in D, and then play along to it. You know, it's great, quick, easy, good for learning, I feel, you know, as well.
And it sounds like you're in the room, so it feels a lot more realistic to play. And that's the great thing about playing backing tracks, is because it adds in a room ambience and a virtual stage that feels like the band's behind you. And
yeah,
it connects you a lot more with the music you're playing, rather than everything you do just sit on top of all the other music. You're sort of a lot more in the mix, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I'm
very good.
Oh, sorry, Joe. I thought you were going to add in something else.
No, I wasn't. I was just saying they are great. They're really good. I think it's almost, you know, like I said, it's not quite what Suresh was after, because I think he wants to make the most out of his gear. But I will say, Suresh, if you're looking for ease in your front room and you just want to make the most out of your guitars, this is a wonderful solution.
I'm trying to think of other easy ways to fix the problem that they have in terms of, so I've got guitars, I've got amps, I've got pedals, I've got cables, all the clutter, but want a cabless, computerless setup.
Well, the Two Notes Captor X is the thing that's screaming out to me. That's, you know, you run that. You can run a head into that as a load box. So, you know, your all valve head's fine. You're running your pedal board into your head. That's fine. You've got your guitar in front of that. And the Two Notes Captor X, you can plug in. You can actually run it without the cab sims, just as a direct box, even not plugged in, which is quite nice. But for this purpose, you know, plugged in, you're running that onto headphones. Has a nice space control that allows you to add in some natural sounding reverb. Just loaded up off the box itself without needing a computer or anything like that. You've got 6 built-in presets. The presets that come with it are fine, honestly. People go too far with cab sims. What do you want? You want an open back 212 or a closed back 212? You know, like, come on.
57
it doesn't flip him out. But,
Interestingly, Anderson's did a video recently where they were like amp head into a Two Notes into 2 Genelex monitors.
Right.
And it sounds really good. And I've got a similar setup here with a couple of Genelec 8010s. And again, want to do a similar thing with a load box, so I don't always have to plug into the cabs, but you've always got something plugged into a computer. I don't think you could probably find the picture on Facebook anymore in the Guitar Nerds group, but Hans Ams, wonderful member of the group who's been there.
Oh, his setup is a dream.
He's got a really cool, like, minimalist setup, which is basically a custom built kind of shelf unit, all in white, that he has a Kemper plugged into and then out into 2 monitors. And it's really minimal and it's really cool. And yeah, I think you could do something similar with a couple of monitors and, yeah, and something like a Two Notes.
Absolutely.
Ultimately, to cut the clutter, I always tend to find just one thing that I did recently, or at least probably a couple of years ago, was just go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work out how many jack cables I need, how long I need them for home, and then I'm going to go and buy X amount of all of the same brand.
Yeah.
And I did that, obviously. Boss make really good cables, so I just went, I'm just going to buy a load of Boss ones. So I've just not got like a random Stag one and then like another one you found down the back of the sofa and then like a really good one you picked up from somewhere, and just like not make sure they're not all 20 foot or 30 foot. In terms of like, because I'm also someone who hates clutter. That to me is something I do a lot of. And then I just buy Velcro cable ties and cable tie it all together and sort of make your own sort of little cable snake to keep the clutter away from that point. But yeah, there isn't really anything that you could plug into, unless the other thing you could do, Joe, is buy something like a Strymon Iridium or a Boss IR200, put that at the end of your pedal chain, then you could have headphones coming direct out of the back of your pedal board.
Yeah, that's true.
Guitar into pedal board and then headphones into the IR200, and then yeah, you've basically just got those two things together. That might cut the clutter and it would make things super simple, and you could change the amp sounds and all that sort of stuff as well.
So I'm gonna talk about this product a bit more over the next coming weeks when I've had more time to record with it. But and I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this, but the Sakalis Audio Works, they make a product called the Multicab 4, and it is like my dream product. It's someone's gone, hey, you know how everyone wants cab sims and quiet stages, but not everyone wants to bring a computer or some pedal with a big interface and a million options, you know, and some people don't like digital stuff. So this is the Multicab 4. Is very simple. You have a massive rotary knob on the front that gives you 8 presets, and then you've got 4 big switches that control whether you are using a ribbon mic, a dynamic mic, or both. Your cab is open back, semi, or closed back. Your power amp is 6L6, EL34, or off completely, and the preamp is running hot, clean, or off completely. It then gives you an ambience control, similar to the space control on 2Note, so some natural reverb and a simple volume control. And it's all, there's no screens, just big, massive, clunky, well-built knobs. It is a guitar cab creating and preamp creating, because it's got that simple preamp on the front end. It's a pedal that goes on your board that's never going to break, that's actually giggable, you know, unlike the bulk of the ludicrous cab sims that are around today. It's robust, it's proper, and it's built like a tank. And you know, has a nice little headphones out as well for you to use at home. I think it's I want to talk about it more because I think it's one of the best products for the way guitar is going, but for people who don't necessarily want a sci-fi, you know, Star Trek Enterprise on their pedalboard.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few cool options to do that sort of thing now that do it in a sort of almost analog way as well as a digital way. So that could be a good option. It just depends how much you're in love with your amplifier.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's for me, like, I wouldn't really want to lose the amp, but I'd sacrifice that with a, you know, 2Notes or a Wazer tube amp expander and run into monitors because I want the amp sound. But if you're not tied to the amp sound, there's a lot of other choices for pedalboard, more pedalboard friendly stuff that would really reduce the overall thing.
I underestimate the tube amp expander, actually. I always talk about the 2Notes just because it's so small, it's so convenient. Mine sits on top of one of my monitors at my desk, and that's great, that's really convenient. But you know, if you're trying to use a head anyway, it's not going to take much more effort to put the Wazer tube amp expander on top of that head. You get more from it, and it's an incredible piece of kit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, there's hopefully that's answered the question a little bit.
Yeah.
There's loads of cool stuff, but there's great practice tools. I mean, you could go as cheap as a Mustang Micro and just plug a guitar into a pair of headphones, or you could go down the route of, you know, monitors, or you can meet somewhere in the middle and just use your pedal board with a little pedal board amplifier.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we are coming towards the end of this podcast episode, dear listener. Before we go, I want to talk about a couple of things. I got sent a load of stuff this week. So I put a picture up on the Facebook group of all the pedals I got. But the two that I've had a real chance to get my head around this week are, firstly, the Earthquaker Devices Aurelius Chorus pedal, well, chorus stroke vibrato stroke rotary pedal. It can do all of those things, and it has presets, and it sounds absolutely amazing. It is a gorgeous, thick, lush, incredible, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sounding chorus. I cannot emphasize how great this pedal sounds. We got that, and I was very excited to receive from Solid Gold their new Beta 5 bass preamp pedal in.
Yeah, I've seen a few people talk about that.
Yeah, it's great because it's just in a normal chassis. They've simplified controls. Sorry, I'm grabbing this one as well. They've simplified controls because on the last Beta it was a larger pedal. They had lots of little switches that did things that moderately adjusted sound, and you know, I like that they've simplified things to just a low-pass filter, volume drive, presence, and body. And then they've given like a little frequency switch in the middle. But using the presence and the body control, especially, you can get some real depth. You can move kind of from that solid state acoustic 360 style bass amp sound to more of a traditional SVT style bass amplifier sound. It sounds fantastic. So what I did is I used both of these pedals to make a little track. I'm using the chorus and the vibrato. I'm using the chorus for the bulk of the rhythm guitars. It's incredibly lush. Vibrato for the lead guitars and the Beta 5 for the bass. Admittedly, there's not a lot of bass going on this track. And I will get into depths with this pedal. But literally, I came home from Easter break today and these pedals were all here. And I was like, oh, I should try and make something with them. And these were the two that I, you know, spent a little bit of time with. Here's the track. See what you think, dear listener and Matt. This is, this is how good these pedals can sound. Completely fluffed that bass bit at the end, but I just didn't bother re-recording it.
That sounds wicked. I'm really glad you used it in a way that wasn't Purple Rain, because that's what I always do with chorus. I'm always like, oh, I'll just, you know, blast out this like Purple Rain type thing. And I thought it was great. I really like that sort of fast, sort of more whirly one that sort of had almost like a rotary sort of vibe to it.
Yeah.
Super impressed. I thought it sounded great.
I think it's great. It sort of does all in one. The fact that it's got presets on there and a little expression out to be able to select those is very, very handy. It's a really, really good sounding chorus, really thick, really lush.
It's got a lot of different options on there as well, isn't it, in terms of the type of chorus you can have. Like, it does go a bit more extreme and do a few other bits. I started to watch the video that Jamie Stillman did on Sweet War, and it's just amazing that we've seen so many chorus pedals already this year.
Yeah, what was it? Was last year Year of the Rat, or was that the year before?
I think it was last year. So this year is certainly year like of the Year of the Chorus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Well, Matt and I, dear listener, are going to head over to the Patreon exclusive episode now. We're gonna go record that. You can join us there. You can join the Patreon for as little as $1 a month. patreon.com/guitar nerds. If you want to get in touch with me and Matt about anything, if you want to give us some jokes to tell on the podcast, or if there are some brands you think we should be checking out, we should be talking about, then, you know, feel free to reach out. You can email us at info@guitarnerds.com. Reach out to us on Facebook, DM us on Instagram, however you want to get in touch. But, you know, do reach out. We're here. I'm literally sitting at a desk all day. I'm waiting for you guys to get in touch with me. So do that. Anyway, we're going to head over to Patreon. We're going to talk about these Epiphones. We're going to talk about these Andertons FSRs. We're going to talk about Chorus some more, probably. Maybe we'll even squeeze in a couple more new NAMM releases. We'll see. But thank you very much for listening, dear listener. And Matt and I will be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Thank you, dear listener, for listening to another episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast. But thank you most of all to all of our top-tier Patreon supporters. Without you, none of this would be possible. Thank you to Marcus Deluxe, Scott Guitars, Suresh,
Dorsonic Pickups, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Rust Meehan, Barry Gresbeck, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, Jared Brown, John Conaway, The Studio Rats, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Brian Einsler, Mark Hizau Kanawaki, Stuart Robson, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Simon Milbourne, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Loseth, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Corrigan, Rob Nordwick, Scott O'Brien, and Moog Gravit.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.